fountains of living water are breaking forth. We welcome you to partake of this great blessing through the spoken word of God, through His servant. Be blessed.
We are grateful to God for another opportunity to stand to receive God's word. You're welcome to the shofar. The shofar is a prophetic meeting that starts the year for us as a local church. And since the beginning of this year, the Lord had begun to speak to us and unveil His mind. Actually, prophetic ministry is demonstrated through teaching and preaching of the word. And oftentimes when we say prophetic ministry, what readily comes in the minds of people is when you prophesy and, you know, and say, "Thus hear the Lord." And I appreciate that. But in the New Testament, prophetic ministry is demonstrated by a consistent preaching and teaching of the word. Prophetic ministry is demonstrated in actually amplifying and expounding the mind of God, okay? Seasonally, not just doctrine of the New Testament, we do that. New Testament prophetic ministry is also positioned to reveal God's mind per season. Okay? And you know, there's this scripture in 2 Chronicles 20:20. We know that scripture. It says, receive the Lord. How did they call it? Come and check it. Believe the Lord. Believe in your Lord God and you shall be what? Established. Believe His prophets, so shall you prosper. So prophetic ministry helps us to prosper in the purposes of God. What did I say prophetic ministry does? Okay, and so receiving prophetic ministry is receiving sound, not just sound doctrine, according to apostolic foundations and apostolic curriculum in the New Testament. Prophetic ministry is also bringing the seasons of God through prophetic messages to guide us into the plan and the purposes of God for that season. And so that's what the Lord is doing. There's a consistent prophetic amplification of His mind to us through teaching. Can we say amen? So we have been looking at the whole concept of what we call the whole counsel of God and maintaining balance in our journey towards accuracy. We're a people that we have a destiny with God in fullness. Can we say fullness? Fullness is our destination in God. It's the proclamation of God for the people of God in the New Testament. We are called to journey into fullness. And in journeying into fullness, when I mean fullness, I'm talking about perfection and fullness in Christ. There are systems that the Lord has put in place for a safe journey. Okay? A journey that will be safe must be a journey that must mind every landmark of truth that the Lord has ordained for us. Can we say amen? We must mind every landmark of truth, okay? As inscribed in scriptures, things that the Lord has put in place for our prosperity or prosperous journey, okay? To the full fulfillment of all things. So when I want to say again, when I say the old counsel of God, I mean it's a systematic teaching of all the doctrines from the milk of the word to the doctrine of Christ, and then to the doctrine of God. It is a consistent, systematic teaching of the mind of God to the church from the milk of God, the milk of the gospel, what we know as the basics of the faith, to the doctrine of Christ, and then to the everlasting gospel. I use the word systematic intentionally. It has to be systematic. Okay, and like I've said, I normally say this to our pastors. I said, a local church work is a little bit different in the way it is done. We have to be able to build believers from the scratch and build them up. And interestingly, at every phase in our local church life, we always have people that the Lord integrates. And when the Lord integrates them, we're able to nurture them from the basics and grow them upwards. While the emphasis must be fullness. Can we say amen? In the New Testament apostolic teaching center, the emphasis must be to attain the fullness of God. So even when you get born again and you are taking milk, we'll always tell you that the emphasis is conformity to the image of the Son. You know that from day one. However, you have to be nurtured progressively, systematically, by the consistent declaration of the whole mind of God, from the basics to the fullness. Can we say amen? Amen. And it must be done with the every sense of caution. There is no one in that is journeying towards fullness that must have an attitude of arrogance, that must have an attitude that is not consistent with the mannerism of God's life. Okay? And those are the things that the Lord is re-instructing us, so that we are the people that are, we are sound. Everybody say sound. We are sound, we are well-rounded, and we are properly positioned to be able to come into all of the purposes of God. Can we all say amen? So last week I began to teach on, I said a lot of things last week, okay, but while rounding up, I can't go back into it. It's a long teaching. I talked about learning wisdom in maintaining balance and building. You know, we have to understand that we're called building. Can we all say building? Take me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 9. We are not just being built. It's not just only the fivefold ministers that are builders. Every saint is a builder. We are all builders. Because after you have been taught, you have to also build with the things you are taught with. And that's why I said, for us as ministers, the onus is on us to give, to properly deliver truth to you. Okay, that's our work. We must make sure that we are properly delivering truth, okay, to you. It is also your own responsibility to see that you are also applying truth properly. Can we say amen? Okay, so you can be giving truth properly, but you don't apply the truth accordingly, and you know you still fall into excesses. Okay, so that's why there's wisdom in making everybody understand that we are all building. So Paul says we are what? For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's what? Husbandry, ye are God's building. Now look at the next thing it says. It says, according to the grace of God that is given unto me as a wise master builder. That's the ministry of an apostle. That word wise master builder is from the word sophos. That's wise, means sophos. Master builder is from the Greek word called architecton, where you get architect. So Paul says, I am a wise architect. I have laid the foundation. And what? Another buildeth thereon. Look at that. He says, but let every man take heed what? On how he builds. So, so apart from you being taught well, being taught properly, what I mean, sound interpretation of scripture. Because you see, you can teach the Bible, but it is not sound in the way truth is delivered. When truth is properly delivered, then there's now onus on you to make sure you take heed. Can we all say the word take heed? Let's say it once more. Take heed on how you build. Okay? Let every man take heed on how we build thereon. So last week I talked about, let me just do a little bit of paraphrasing of what some things I said last week. Number one, I said we need to build on clear scriptural emphasis and consistency. Okay? We build on clear scriptural emphasis. You know, one of the excesses that has entered into some aspects of the body is to build on obscure emphasis. What I mean obscure emphasis is what I call low tones. Okay, and I gave you examples last week that in scriptures we know things that are clearly revealed as the mind of God throughout the scripture. You don't just see them in the epistles, they are all spread throughout the scripture. You know, I normally say any truth you can't teach from Genesis to Revelation, you have to check it. If you cannot defend it from the beginning of Bible to the end of the Bible, then there's no point. It means it doesn't have consistency in scripture. And you know, we have seen many people die and argue and fight themselves on things that are absolutely not necessary. So, you know, the wisdom is that we need to build, can we say build, on clear scriptural emphasis, okay, that are consistent throughout scripture. Number one, that's number one. Number two, I said we major on the major and the minor on the minor. And I said it clearly that we don't put the cart before the horse. In the kingdom of God, building must be systematic. What did I say building must be? Things, truth must be properly arranged. Okay? A comes before B. C comes before D. When you put D before A, there is what? A disalignment in building. And also in emphasis, it has to be. Jesus said in Matthew 23, I think verse 23, he says there are things he termed as weightier matters of the law. There's a principle that we can derive from that. Can we look at that scripture? Weightier matters. So there are weightier matters of the faith. Jesus called them judgment, mercy, and faith. It's a word to use scribes and Pharisees. One of the things about the Pharisaic spirit is that it twists the arrangement of God. It perverts the proper arrangement of truth. Okay? It says, what to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted, look at that, omitted, which are matters of the law. And Jesus called them judgment. That judgment, another word for it is righteousness. So righteousness is a weightier matter of the law. Or weightier matter of truth. He called it, he spoke about mercy. You can use mercy. Another word for mercy is love. Mercy and then what? Faith. He says, this ought ye have done. So we have to do weightier matters. Can we say amen? And leave the other undone. This is where the balance is. Now Jesus didn't say don't tithe. Jesus didn't say that neglect the minors. He says, focus on the weightier matters, and don't leave the other ones what? Undone. So you have to do everything. That's what he's saying. He's just saying you have to place more importance. Everybody say importance. On weightier matters of the law. So in the kingdom of God, there are things that are called majors. They are weightier matters of the law. Love, faith, righteousness, conformity to the Son. Those things are weightier matters. You cannot teach it once in a year. And then you teach people making money all through the year. Then once in a year, you talk about loving God. Sure, you understand what I'm talking about? No, we don't build that way. So we major on the majors. I told you there are majors in scripture. Conformity to the Son. In the New Testament, the word Christ is mentioned over 200 times in the New Testament alone. The word Christ. Okay? In the New Testament alone, I've told you the word church is mentioned over 119, how did I write it? Over 114 times. 95 of it refers to the local church. So nobody can play down local church. Because it's clear in scripture that the body of Christ is magnified in local gatherings. Nobody can say it's building one apostolic, whatever you call it, and de-emphasize on local church. That teaching will not be consistent with scripture. It will be a wrong arrangement or wrong emphasis. You know, we need to have this judgment. Can we say amen? So, you know, we major or major, we minor, minor. Can we say amen? And we don't de-emphasize the minor. We don't de-emphasize healing of the body because of salvation of the soul. Salvation of the soul is a weightier matter of truth. But if you don't know how your body will be healed, you will die before your soul is saved. Are you following me? We don't play down on them. We only put them in their proper perspective. Okay, so I said that. Then, you know, the third thing I said is that we have to develop the spiritual senses of the saints through sound doctrine. The purpose of sound doctrine is to develop your spiritual senses. Spiritual senses or your sense of discernment must be amplified in this season. Can we say amen? One of the things that must be done to believers in these last days is to have a strong sense of discernment because deception has heightened. There's so much deception in the church. People don't even know they are left from right anymore. It's because it takes sound doctrine to develop judgment or discernment. Sound doctrine is what develops judgment. We must place premium on maturing the saints. We must place premium on developing your discernment. This is not the gift of discernment of the Spirit. That's a gift. This is what the nature of discernment that comes by stature. So priority to the saints is to grow up their what? Their spiritual stature so that they can have judgment and discernment. Your pastors cannot be there every time for you. You have to be mature enough to be able to discern between good and evil. Can we say amen? Okay, so let's go to the next point. Okay, I think this is where I stopped. Number four, we have to judge doctrines carefully. You have to judge doctrines or teachings carefully. And I'm teaching you this not just to help you, to also help many of your colleagues, friends in the body of Christ that you relate, you live in the same neighborhood, you relate in, you know, in the work, place of work. We're in a world where there is more emphasis on packaging and externalism than the content of the gospel. That's where we live in a society where we judge truth, not by the content or the life of truth. We judge truth by externalism. So success of ministry is judged by external measures. How much people are gathered, you know, the number of people, you know, all kinds of values, okay? And because of that, deception has heightened. Now, false doctrine are often presented to appeal to our lust. Take me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. False doctrine are always presented to appeal to, that's how you know that it's false. It will appeal to your lust, okay? And Satan is very good. You know, Satan is a very good marketer. Satan knows that man has programs in him that he can always appeal to. So there are teachings that are designed to appeal to your lust. And that's how you can judge. Because you see, through teachings of Christ, they change us. Can we say amen? They don't pamper us. They don't cause us to remain in darkness. They confront our darkness. Truth confronts your darkness. It says, for the time will come when they, so there is a day that you should not be part of. What did I say? Now, when Paul was writing this, Paul was writing by, Paul is an apostle, but he is also a prophet. He was writing by a prophetic spirit of what will happen in the last days. He says, for a time will come. Now, let's start from verse 1 quickly. Let's rush because of time. Let's start from verse 1. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Next verse. It says, preach the word, be in stand in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. You know, we don't get this anymore. Pastors are afraid to rebuke, so people will not leave church. So that church is even built on the wrong foundation. Because church is designed to save soul. So if you are focused on salvation of the soul, you will be focused on teaching the right doctrine. Either people stay or not is their choice. The truth, the standard of truth must be raised. Can we say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. What's the point of having, 5,000 people and nobody's growing? There's no point. There's no reward for that kind of work. There are many ministries that work that way, that there will not be any reward. There's no reward. So preach the word, be instant in season. Look at all the things it says, okay? Now look at verse 3. Now it says, the reason why you must do what you are, this thing I say you should do. Timothy, keep preaching the word. Raise the standard. Don't fall the standard. Don't reduce the standard of truth. He says, because the time will come, and I believe the time has come, when they will not endure sound doctrine. He's not talking about to unbelievers, he's talking about believers. But after their own loss, look at that, shall what? Heap to themselves what? Teachers. Having what? Itchy ears. It says, and they shall what? Turn away their heads from the truth. And shall what? Turn unto fables. This will not be your portion. Okay? So false doctrine are often presented to us to appeal to our lust, to our carnal appetites, to our logical, intellectual reasoning. You know, I know I've heard a lot of people talk about the fact that you have to reason, use your brain in church. I'm not condemning that. But spiritual things are beyond intellectualism. Being a professor does not give you an advantage to know God. It can even be a disadvantage. Because if your mind is raised above truth, you will not be able to submit to the standard of God. In church, we live, we connect in the spirit. It's higher than brain. So you have heard things like that. Use your brain and give God rest. You know, all of those things. Very subtle. Satan is a master of using people's brain. You need to understand that we are spiritual people, okay? Your brain should be subjected to the spirit. And if your brain is subjected to the spirit, you will do some things. Dancing in the spirit, does it make sense? Oh, talk to me. Does dancing in the spirit make logical sense? Or laughing in the spirit? Or prophesying? You know, when you have someone that is very trim and proper, you will not be able to dance in the spirit. You'll be fighting Holy Ghost. But when you dance in the spirit, there are certain things that are loosed. That does not follow reasoning. Obeying God does not, most of the time, does not follow reasoning. There are many times I've done the will of God, it did not follow, it was not brainly sound. If you use brain, you not obey God. If Abraham used brain, will he take Isaac to Moriah? If Mary used brain, will she obey God and believe what the Lord said and the angel said? So the spirit is higher than brain. The church is a ground of spirits. Yeah, we are spiritual people. We interpret things spiritually. So false doctrine appeals, like I said, to your carnal appetite, to your logical reasoning, intellectual reasoning, your traditional and religious reasoning. All of us have traditional reasoning. And we bring them into the church. We now quote it with doctrine. We quote it with Bible. Heaven help those who help themselves. Where did you see it? Heaven helps those that can't help themselves. We have many things that are traditional and cultural. They don't have standing truth. Okay? Or now our venue. So irrespective of personality, listen to this. This is very important. Irrespective of the personality or charisma of anyone presenting truth, we must understand that truth is higher than any man. Truth is higher than me. I am not the standard. Jesus is the standard. We have many believers in church today that don't understand this. So we must train saints to be sound, to know God, to discern, you know, God's will. We must raise believers. Let's see Acts chapter 17, verse 10, like the saints in Berea. Now, we train you, when we teach you the word, go and check the scriptures, if they are so. Don't go and check if they are not so. That's a wrong attitude. Check if they are so. Okay? We want you to be able to also prove truth yourself. It's part of maturity. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. So, you know, the way the Bible renders, you know, things are interesting. So, assemblies are more noble than each other. Oh, you didn't get what I said? What did I say? So, they were weighing the church, as at that time, weighing the church in Berea, more noble than the church in Thessalonica. Interesting, we didn't see any epistle written to Berean Christians. I don't know why. But, as at this time, this was what was documented concerning them. It says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with what? All readiness of mind. So they were hungry church. Can we say amen? Amen. And what? Search the scriptures what? Daily. Believers don't do this anymore. They tell us things and then we don't search. You search to prove them so that they are established. Whether these things were so. They didn't search if they were not so. That's another extreme. But they search if they were so that they can be established. So when we teach you, go search the scripture, come back and show us. If there is no clarity, we'll re-explain them to you. That's how people grow. Can we say amen? We have many believers that have thrown away, and we must be careful with this, even as a people, as a movement. We must never relegate Bible study. Now, I've told you that, amen, amen, amen. Your Bible study should be inconsistent with the doctrine that you are receiving. It makes you get established. After we teach you, go study the scriptures. And what? Let the things that we are teaching you help you get grounded in scriptures. There are many errors in the body today that if you subject them to scriptural scrutiny, they don't stand. Just subjecting them to scrutiny, they don't stand. The reason why a magician can look like a prophet is because you are not even scripturally sound in the first place. When you use some scriptures to scale, judge from this, you know that this one does not have ground. This one is just pure sorcery and magic. So the more truth, listen to this. Are we all together? The more truth is judged with scriptural, from scriptural lenses, it grows stronger. I've noticed that. The more truth is judged or teaching is judged through scriptural lenses. Now, when the understanding of everlasting life came, when I first had it, I can tell you, I have a lot of respect for God's servant, Reverend Kayode Ogoke. What I just did was that when I received the word, it just ran through scriptures. So there were, it was not, I didn't have any encounter, there was no visitation, there was nothing. I had only scriptural witnesses. That's all. I could see scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Clear. Scriptures were opening. This one, I said, this one is not man. I could see it myself. So it was not any, it was not a cunningly devised fable. Yes, it was not you. You must teach this. No. If I didn't have that scriptural witnesses, I would not say, ah. That does not mean I would disbelieve. I would just wait for that witness of scripture. Because whatever you teach, you must be able to defend from the Bible. Irrespective of who teaches it. I hope you are following me. So when you judge teaching with scripture, from scripture, it grows stronger. And the more error is scrutinized with truth or with scripture, it goes weaker. That's what I've discovered. If you scrutinize sound teaching with scriptures, it goes stronger. When you do that to error, it goes weaker. That's why we must preach. One of the reasons why preachers, and I say this to preachers, we must live according to the standard of the world. We must preach. The more we preach, the more we must become in alignment with what we preach. The Bible says that in Agai. It says the messenger of the Lord in the Lord's message. Okay? Because witness of life further confirms truth. What did I say? And this is for everybody. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, quickly. Let's look at it. Take heed unto thyself. He's talking to, and this is not just to Timothy. This is for every church worker, every disciple of Jesus. You must take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. And what? Continue in them. For in doing so, thou shalt what? Both save thyself. For it is in continuing doctrine that you are saved. And you don't just save yourself. You save what? And them that what? Yeah, thee. So even when something is scripturally sound, it's not just enough. We must live it out. So that it's not just sound in the scripture, it's sound in our lives. Hallelujah. I can hear your amen. Glory to God. Now, I've watched something and I want to share this easily. This is how deception plays out. Listen to this. Deception or wrong teaching first weakens the authority of the scripture. Now, you can write that down. If you are out there, this is how to judge an heretic teaching. Okay? Number one, it weakens the authority of the scripture. You start hearing that the Bible is not the word of God. You start hearing that it's not everything in the Bible that is the word of God. You begin to hear all kind of all kind of rev. The first thing that Herod does is to weaken the authority of the scripture. It will make you think that the scripture, you can't take the scripture the way it is. Some ministers said you can't take everything Paul said. So I can take everything you said. You don't know who Paul is in the internal church. Paul is a third foundational apostle. We can't have any apostles in that order anymore. And Jesus did it that way. If Jesus did not do it that way, we would have been soup today. Everybody will be right. All these apostles today, I'm sorry, they'll be writing their own epistle. And start laying their own foundation. They will be creative with doctrine. I, Apostle Jim John, writes to the church in Ajibode. Mercy and grace and joyfulness. Everybody say, thank God. Hell, we'll have been in soup today. We'll have epistles flying here and there. Epistle to counter epistle. We'll have had, there will be confusion, there will be cacophony today. So Jesus was wise. So after Jesus is the apostle, like Daddy Hagin taught us. Jesus is the apostle. He's in on the class of his own. Then we have the next category of apostles, which were apostles, what? Of the Lamb. Jesus chose them himself. He selected them. Even Paul is not amongst them. As powerful as Paul was. Then we have the third. We have foundational apostles, people like Paul, that laid doctrine from prophets. You can only build on what Paul did. You cannot even edit him. I don't think I'm wrong on this. You can't edit him. Jesus helped them to go into the prophets and to lay doctrine for the New Testament church. Every other apostle after that can only expound what they have taught and relay it. I don't know if you are getting me. So like I said, the first, we want to judge deception. The first thing is that deception normally weakens the authority of Scripture. I had one minister say, the love of money is not the root of all evil. It's not like that. I said, so it's like, ow. So that's the first thing that error does. Number two, he now distorts the truth of Scripture. It will weaken it first before it distorts it. It will distort the truth of Scripture. Number three, it adds or subtracts from Scripture. Are you following the cycle? It will first what? Weaken the authority of the Scripture. It will distort or twist the authority of the Scripture. Then it will begin to add or what? Subtract. That's the third phase. Then the last phase is that he abandons the Scripture. And now when you mean abandonment, is either a total abandonment? I've checked this. Pastor Siji, I checked this by studying church. I did some research on church history. Amen. If I have any opportunity to maybe go and read, I'll go and do. I told my wife said this. I said I'll go and do PhD in church history. If I want to read. If I want to go to school, I'll just go and do PhD in church history. When I started reading a lot of materials, I discovered eventually the end of deception is that it abandons the authority of the Scripture. So the man of God becomes a Scripture. Yes. It becomes a standard. Not what the world says. It abandons the truth of Scripture. Is either partially or totally. We have some moves that was total deviation of Scripture. Then some is partial. But it's still abandoning of Scriptures. So we as leaders, are you following me? You know, we are raising leaders also in this assembly. Can we say amen? We as leaders must put truth in proper alignment. So that we are properly grounded. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. Our spiritual experiences, as good as they can be, must not be raised higher than the authority of Scripture. Our personal experiences, our personal encounters, wonderful, they must never be raised than the authority of Scripture. You know, at times you can judge the richness of a service by the demonstration and the power that flowed. So our service today, powerful. Why? If you see the way people were falling down under the power of God and screaming, service was powerful. But they didn't learn anything. Now, I'm not against demonstration of the Spirit. I believe in the power of God, demonstrations of the Spirit. But we judge the strength of a service by the understanding imparted. Everybody say understanding. So if there is no demonstration of the Spirit, if there is no prophetic anything, but understanding, eyes were opened. Veils were torn off. Then that's a powerful meeting. Oh, I'm not getting a witness. When Jesus opened the eyes of those disciples on the way to Emmaus, what happened? Did anybody roll on the ground? So understanding is what measures the impact of a meeting. Understanding that was what? Imparted to the saints. Understanding that can make them grow and for them to walk in the will of God. Hallelujah. In fact, sometimes the most anointed meetings, you don't feel anything. At times, you will not even feel anything. You will not see anything. So we must learn to this. Neither should emphasis be placed on the miraculous or spiritual encounters at the expense of learning Christ. I believe in miracles. I believe in visions. They are powerful. They are things that God gives us as He wills. But we don't measure our lives by them. Can we say amen? There are miracles in their different orders. God, now I discovered that having understanding is a miracle. Because spirits will labor for you not to have understanding. When you start growing on all of you here, if last day you know nothing and today now you can say, I didn't understand Pastor Dimeji before. It's like a spirit is speaking. Now you can understand me. That's a miracle. But you know, you normally don't term that a miracle. Nothing may externally change your life, but you grew. That's a miracle. You could pray more. You could study your Bible the more. You could live by faith. That's a miracle. As powerful as the miraculous, we should not even limit the time the miraculous. Kenneth Copeland wrote a book called Walking in the Realm of the Miraculous. If you read the book, he spoke only about love. No, you need to read that book. Very powerful book. Walking in the Realm of the Miraculous. If you read that book, he taught only on love. So, what Copeland was teaching us, Baba was teaching us, is that love is the greatest miracle. Now, I'm not playing down on signs and wonders. We need it. Signs and wonders, they should bear witness to the word. What did I say signs and wonders should do? And we believe God for them. I trust God for healings. I believe that your bodies will be healed, that miracles will happen in your life. I believe that. But much more, I believe more in the miracle of the word changing you. Can we all say amen? Amen. Now, if you are not like that, evil spirits will hijack our meetings and make us place importance on those things rather than the weightier matters of the faith. Okay? People transforming, their lives transforming. And like I said, matter of fact, we don't seek miracles. Miracles or signs follow us. Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." That's the proper order. And like I used to say that in a New Testament church, faith is stronger than the miraculous. In the sense of miracles, signs, and wonders. To grow in faith is stronger. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, some of those demonstrations are done to make people believe. Okay? And most of those people are people that are, they have carnal senses. They don't have spiritual judgment. So, it can help their hearts to cleave to doctrine. So, if a miracles, signs, and wonders are happening, it's just to gather the heart and to come and receive the highest miracle, which is the miracle of transformation. Oh, you didn't hear that. It's just to help the heart to believe the word. The word is the miracle of the Bible. The gospel is the miracle. The gospel gone in miracle. Believing and walking, believing the word, walking in the gospel, believing sound doctrine is actually the miracle. But there are miracles of the miracle. Those miracles is just to advertise the real miracle. It's for you to learn the word and grow. And follow God. You will follow God without signs. You follow God by faith. Hallelujah. Okay, can we say amen? So the next thing is that we test spirits. Test all spirits. 1 John chapter 4 from verse 1 to 4. Okay? You must learn to judge the spirits behind teachings more than teachings themselves. Now, we should judge teachings, but we should judge spirits behind it. It is possible for someone to teach something that is in the Bible, but the spirit is wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. Someone was talking about a particular minister, you know. He says that all of these other ministers criticize, they don't have miracles than him. So I say, is miracles a judgment of the authenticity of a minister? Jesus said that by their fruits, You shall do it. He didn't say by their miracles. In fact, one of the greatest deceptions of the last days was that Satan will work miracles. It's in Revelation 13. It's the second four signs and wonders. It's one of the characteristics of the Antichrist and the false prophet. So why are you telling me? It's fruits that we know. Jesus said, by their fruits we shall know them, not by their signs. Hallelujah. So we test spirit. So it's possible to have a true teaching. What I mean a true teaching is from the scripture, but the spirit is wrong. You can teach and you promote a wrong spirit of elitism. Elitism is that we are the only ones. We are the ones. Everybody say we are the ones. We are the grandmasters of truth. Now all these things are terrible things. You know, there were people that were doing, the disciples also fell into that. They didn't know who Jesus was. Some people were using Jesus' name. They were not in the camp of the disciples. In their mind, anybody using Jesus' name must be with us. Because we have autonomy of truth. So, you know what I told Jesus? I said, Jesus, you can look for other places in scripture. These people are calling your name. And they are not with us. Jesus says that anyone that is not against us is for us. And the disciples were shocked. And Jesus was only trying to show them the nature of the spirit that is right. That's a right spirit. So you can have a wrong spirit. Elitism is a wrong spirit. I've told you before, you are not greater than anybody in the body of Christ. Every minister is called to do what Jesus called them to do. So even if I am teaching something more weightier than another minister, does not mean I am great. Jesus is not going to measure me or judge me because he has called me to teach a more weightier truth than a minister that is called to teach milk. He will judge us by our faithfulness, by our love work, by how much we are conformed to his image. The same thing with all of us. So when you enter the body of Christ and you are trying to prove that you know more than your other Christians and your life is found wanting, there's comma on your, you know, everybody say comma. There's comma, question mark on your way of life, then it means you have nothing to give. So we don't exalt ourselves over anybody. Amen. The proof that you are growing is that you are meek. So elitism is a wrong spirit. Specialism. Sectarianism. These are wrong spirits. Criticism. Some people, they just criticize. They like criticizing everything. They even criticize themselves. It's supposed to be a proof that they are sound. It's not. It's a wrong spirit. I call it, it's an accusing finger. You just always try to point. See, let me tell you, Jesus will fight you. Jesus loved the church. The church may have issues, but Jesus is still the body of Jesus. So you be careful. You minister. The way you are pointing fingers at the church, Jesus can only show you, sir. Be very careful. Many ministers don't come from a place of compassion and love. When you are dealing with the Lord's bride, you need to be the Lord's church, you need to be very, very careful. Okay? Can we say amen? When you look at the body of Christ, you find all kinds of things that the enemy has used to blindfold men. We have some churches and ministries start to say that the preachers feel that there is no one like them. Okay? You know that Paul acknowledged Apollos in the midst of that cacophony. Even when the sons of Paul were elevating him higher. And that is what, you know, like at times it's his sons that fight each other. That eventually make the ministers to fight each other. I know these things. I've been around for a while too. Some fights are not necessary. My own father is higher than your father. Who send you work? And then there's now confusion. And nobody, you can't want to reach somebody and prove to them that their own spiritual father is low. They will never listen to you. Is the truth now? Who does not have father? Is it only you that have father? Have you noticed? And it's the attitude of children. Maybe, you know, you went to visit your friend and you are greeting your friend, and then, you know, your children went with you. The children begin to argue. One said, my father just bought a big car yesterday. So that child will be feeling something. My father bought a Jeep last week. Because your father was not with my father. Your father bought a Jeep. My own father has an aeroplane. So in the midst of that, now Paul even had authority over the Corinthian church, because this was a church that he labored to plant. But the way churches were designed in that time, churches received ministries. So in the midst of that, Paul says, see, I am not part of it. I recognize Apollos. And I and Apollos, we are just what? We are just laborers. No baton. Then towards the end of this, he said, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Who is then Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers, by whom you have what believed, even as the Lord gave what to every man. Now, look at that particular, go down. Ministers are gifts. We should not fight, the body of Christ should not be divided over ministers. I can't go into depth of that. But every minister is a gift to the body. We will have to grow above this. Uh-huh. Look at this. When it says, all things are yours. Whether Paul, whether Apollos. Look at that. Whether Paul, whether Apollos, whether Cephas. Oh, this, you look at the way Paul was just simplifying this thing. Or the world, or life, or death, or things. Just, or prayer. Or things to come. All are yours. So ministries are gifts to the church. And that's why Jesus will go after ministers that divide the church. He will go after them. He will judge them. Because it is not their church. It is his church. And I feel that there are some things that are unnecessary divisions. Very unnecessary. So wrong. There are wrong spirits. Wrong spirits. So we need to test spirits. Okay? That the spirits are pure. Spirits that don't divide. Spirits that don't elevate men above the authority of the scripture. Spirits that don't, spirit that does not love or embrace the body. That's why I keep teaching on honoring the body of Christ. Because no matter how powerful a work is, it's not greater than the body of Christ. No work is more complete than the body of Christ. You didn't get what I'm saying. You're not greater than the body. No matter what you know, there are things in the body that you need. And the Lord designed it in such a way that you will need something in the body of Christ. Yes, God designed it that way so that nobody thinks that they can stand alone. You can't stand alone. And I've checked it. Any work that thought they could stand alone, they eventually became heretic. Or they shut down in a particular area. They may be growing in certain areas, but in certain areas they will be weak. The Lord will make them see their weakness. It will not take humility to acknowledge it. And repent. And say, Lord, we need help here. The Lord said, you need help. Reach out to this minister. This help is in a minister. Have you ever seen an old church? They will shut themselves. They say, don't bring this kind of ministers. Meanwhile, those ministers are the ones that carry grace to help that church. And I heard that now that is already happening now. Churches are shutting them. I know that there are excesses. I know there are false ministers. I know there are heroes in the body. But that does not give us the authority to close our borders. To true genuine gifts. We should rather prove all things. And hold fast that which is good. We have to prove. So when we prove, we should be able to open our borders to receive a gift. That's how it was in the early church. We should continue that tradition of the faith. Some churches don't receive. They say, where are you coming from? Who is your spiritual father? Is it about spiritual father or where you are coming from? About the fact that Jesus has put authority on a man. Let me not go so much into that. Okay? So we test spirits. I've met all kinds of ministers in my life. There were some I liked that I wanted to connect to, but the Lord helped me to check the spirit, and I had to withdraw. There's a particular minister I really loved a lot. I loved that minister. He had a lot of understanding. And you know, me and him, we used to connect a lot, particularly on the grounds of the book of Revelation, because, you know, that's my area. I love it. So we'll talk. I remember one time, you know, I think we shared for about 8 hours. My wife was just tired. She just slept off. I was awake. We were talking when he was opening. And he said some things that, you know, were powerful. I mean, he's a powerful minister. But there was just, you know, and I asked my wife, why are you not connecting? She said, there's just something. There's just something. She could not say. There was something. They said, there's something. And she was able to pick it. She was able to pick his spirit. That his spirit, the spirit had some issues with the body. Okay, let's have that.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Samaru Gujele Pela Venosi Brakata Zipragata Bania. I'm going macro venehasike paniakata. I'm giving you wisdom. I'm giving you sense. I'm giving you sense to even test ministers. To test ministers and discern. For it's not just in the opening of scriptures. For if you love scriptures to be opened, you may not just be sufficient.
Yes.
Even to test well. It's not in scriptures, even the adversary, the enemy, even the fallen angel, even can teach scriptures. It can also explain scriptures, but it is not of my spirit. It is not of my spirit. For many, there are many who have been taken advantage of by the adversary, and they have not allowed me do a thorough work. A thorough work of doing a work on their inside before they are sent. Before they are well sent.
Yeah.
And because they do not allow even approval of men that are higher than them, because they do not allow the approval of men that are higher than them, they become praise to the body. I want you to have sense in discerning. Even not just from without, even from among you. For some of those errors begin from a childhood state. It starts from when you were a child. When you just love to do some things beyond your measure. When you love to say some things beyond your measure. When you love to shine. When you love to be above others. It is an indice that such a trait can be found in you. So I'm warning you. I'm saying be careful so that you will not be a prey to the devil. Because the devil also loves such people. People that are anointed. People that understand scripture. You can understand scripture, but you do not have the right spirit. So I say be careful.
Amen.
Be careful so that you can be of good even to my body. Allow due process. And the due process can be that you stay under. Stay under well till you are fully done. Such that when men receive of you, they will receive of me, saith the Lord.
You know, one of the things I found out relating with that particular minister was that he had issues with most ministers. I'm not sure about him. He had problems with all ministers except himself. I was not okay with that, so I pulled out. Then later, the Lord warned me. He said, if you get close to this minister, he says, the thing I'm doing in you will be aborted. The Lord warned me, so I disconnected. So, you know, we check spirit, we check love work, we check honor. If you see ministers that don't honor the body of Christ or honor other ministers, it's a problem. Ministers that don't have love work. Ministers that de-emphasize submission. Ministers that de-emphasize the local church or authority figures. I know one minister, he has abused every minister, every father in the body of Christ. I can never connect to such a person. Let him be teaching Bible. That's a wrong spirit. You can't feed from that kind of source. That's poison. Somebody maybe might know the Bible as intellectual. The Bible is not academics. But it has discarded every spiritual ethics. You know, I've made mistakes before, so I understand these things very well. Okay? When you start tearing down fathers, I will run away from you. There's nothing you can tell me. Now, I'm not saying that fathers are perfect. I'm only saying that we are not dignitaries. And now we are not the generation of those that go on open ground and begin to slash fathers down and build message around it. What a pity. I've told you that David sang the song of the bow. You will never know, except David told you that Paul persecuted him. You will never know that Saul persecuted him. David honored Saul even in his death. You know, I was talking about a particular minister, I saw a video about a particular minister that left a particular group. He was now giving a public interview about that group. And he said a lot of things publicly. I said, so what's the point? I said, no, I'm not saying those things are not true, but why should you be on social media? So it means that everybody that listens to you will not like that group. I said, you have just finished them, a whole group. I said, hey, but the man of God, no. See, if you had issues with them and they did not do you well, you get healing and go. Let God that is the just God, let him do his work. Because that was not well presented. That was very, very immature. Very, very immature. At least that group blessed you at one time. You can't bind the fingers that fed you. At one time, you depended upon them. At one time, they put something in you that you still have. Till tomorrow, you have to honor them. I got born again. My first encounter with God was in Redeemed Church, RCCG. I can never forget that. As far as I'm concerned, Redeemed Church is my church. There's nothing you can tell me. I may not agree with everything they do there, but if that church was in exist, I won't get born again. I got born again in Redeemed Church. Daddy Adebayo was there. Tunde Bakare was my first pastor. There's nothing you can tell me is my pastor till tomorrow. Till tomorrow. Those things have to be installed in you. Till tomorrow. Pastor Bakare is my pastor. So we need to be with judge spirits. You know, I don't care what anybody teaches. If it produces fear, takes you out of love walk, does not produce character of Christ in you, does not teach you humility and submission, watch out. I don't care whatever you teach, if it produces rebellion to spiritual authority, if it produces lust and lawlessness, it makes you think that something is not sin. And then you can live your life anyhow. If it produces in you malice, gossip, materialism, watch out. It's a wrong spirit. And one of the things that God is doing through sound doctrine today is to develop our antenna will get sharper. Can pick things in the spirit. It's not the right spirit. Let me go on. Number six, we are saying, look, learning wisdom in building. Number six, relationship with other ministers and ministries. This one is very sensitive. I once had a vision one time when I saw in the spirit, it was a vision, a prophetic experience, when I saw the fivefold ministry work together. How the way the Lord designed that they work together. And it was so beautiful. I saw each of the gifts magnifying Jesus and walking seamlessly. And the Lord was telling me in that experience that this is how we ordained them to walk originally. So, I now discovered that God wants us to have an healthy relationship with the body. What did I say God wants us to have? Everybody that is a member of this church must respect and honor other churches. And you must respect and honor other pastors and ministers. that are not your own pastors. We must have an healthy relationship with other churches, other groups, other ministries. It helps us to put us in perspective and balance. It helps their hearts. It humbles their hearts. At times, it even helps you to even judge what you are doing. Because you are not an island. You don't know everything. Yes. I can't say I know. Pastor Dimitri is so deep. There's nothing he does not know. I don't know everything. You need to hear that. Because some of you may think otherwise. I've talked to some of you before. That's the way you think. I have to correct the way you think. There was a time I corrected someone. He says, we are not perfect, but we need things from the body. I say yes. And the body of Christ is bigger than any church. The body of Christ is bigger than any minister. The body of Christ is bigger than any movement. That's why God raises people, okay? As gifts to the body. So you respect the body all the time. So you must have a healthy relationship with ministries, ministers. We honor people, okay? Honor ministries. And if need be, we bring them to bless us. We must never have churches that are so difficult for ministries to come and bless us. At times, it even helps us to even, at times it's good. When you relate with, have elder relationship with ministries, it helps you to even check what you are building. So that you have not run in vain. You know, one culture I saw was that after Paul received what he received, he still tried to submit it for others to check. His safety. Can we say amen? We must learn all these ethics. By some of you, God spoke to you, your pastor cannot even check it. It's a problem. You know, this generation are so funny. God, the Lord spoke, and so if the Lord speaks, can't we check it? Can't we prove it? Why are you so fearless? What if what the Lord told you is wrong? What if? Not because the Lord is wrong. What if you didn't hear God well? Have I not made mistakes? Are there not things I've thought it was God and now discover it's not God? On a major issue, a life-defining issue. Oh, they hear God, oh, they jump, oh, they nigadani can say Abba. Oh, liar, sir. There are systems of safety. If God has spoken to you, submit it. Let others check it. If you have a light that God has revealed to you that Pastor Dimitri is not teaching, you understand? It's possible. Yes. It's possible. Come and share it with us. That Pastor, this is what God is showing me. And then we'll look at it together. I can guide you if it's true or not. The way some of you are is as if, and I look at some of you, I just laugh. May you not make mistakes. Amen. There are some mistakes, when you make them, you don't recover. You don't recover. I don't ever pray that for anybody. I have seen people make mistakes for 20 years. They are still in it. They are still in that. The tea has not removed finish. You understand? So you take it easy. You are not the first person to hear God. Particularly when it comes to ministry, take it easy. You know, take it easy. Let's check it. Slow down. I'm not against people even starting ministries. It's my joy to have people. One of my callings is to raise leaders. So we just want to be sure that it's God. So I know that these are things that get people angry. Okay, but let's go on. Okay, so even when we are criticized, we should not be defensive. We should check again. We should check again. It's wisdom for safety. It's not good to be too defensive when you are being criticized. Because at times, in the midst of criticism, God can work out salvation. You may see something that you never saw. I've heard it before that there was a time that somebody was criticizing Paegi. That man is an epitome of humility. And he was tearing down the faith message, and you know, Paegin, as his usual nature, was excusing the person. You understand? He said, at a particular point, the person eats something that he has been trusting God for a long time. So in the midst of nonsense, there was sense. If you are not humble, you won't hear that. You will have totally shut down. I heard one minister talk about the fact that one of the ways the Lord helped him is to, you know, to pray well for ministers that oppose him. It was just to help his heart. Pray for them, pray for his children, bless them. It was just to help his heart. You know, those kind of things are things that helps your heart to be more godly. Can we say amen? Nobody in this church must go and be arguing with people on certain aspects of doctrine. There are certain aspects of doctrine that may not be yet fully understood by everybody, but they are in scripture. That is not the area that you go and begin to show them. Do you know the difference between everlasting and eternal? Who begged you? Who sent you? Those are very sensitive areas of doctrine. Just leave it alone. Walk in love. Share basic things. Show character that is Christ-like. Don't go and cause problem. And then it will not be linked to Pastor Dimitri. Because I'm warning you. Particularly at campus level. We need to walk in love. I've told our campus, you know, we have campus work, you know, currently going. We have in UI, we have in Badapoli, one now in Lead City. We need to be very careful. We are not confronting anybody. Can we say amen? I can hear your amen. The time will come, I believe, and this is my own opinion. This is my own opinion. The time will believe that the body will grow to start having what I call apostolic councils. Like the one they had in Acts chapter 15. Because we have conflicting areas of doctrine that elders at the gates must sit on to actually clarify. There are conflicting areas of doctrine. Okay? I believe that we'll get there. Can we say amen? Well, these are challenges that we have currently. But we must get there. The body must grow there. At this time, there was a council meeting called to clarify a lot of things. Thank God that it was done. Okay, we need a lot of things. A lot of things have been sent into the body as truth, but they are not. And they have been part of us already. Sometimes what makes you a father is not just that. You are not just a father to your church. You are a father in the body. So you are not just particular about people that are worshiping in your own local church. You are also looking at safety for believers that are in the body. So we need such father figures what? To arise. Nobody is saying amen. Amen. That will be they will protect the whole generation. Amen. From error. Yes, sir. Now let's go on. Number 7. Okay. You know, before I go to number 7, you know, the way the Lord even designed it, the Lord makes us unique in our anointings. Even the pastoral team. I'm not like mommy. Mommy is not like me. I'm not like Pastor CG. Pastor Friday is not like me. God designed it that way. To bring, you know, to bring beauty. To bring balance. To bring perspective. There's something I will say, I might not say it too well. My wife will come and say it in a better way. You see the same thing. But God will give her wisdom to present it in a better way. I'll be happy when she's doing that. We need one another. We must have that sense. Nobody should have a sense of operating alone. Nobody should have a sense. That heart is a good heart. Okay? The Lord is helping us. Now, number 7. Love should be the motive and the foundation for attaining balance. When you say balance, we want to come into balance. Love is the motive. All what we are learning would attain to nothing if love is not the motive. And we have a lot of love scriptures here. The love of God must be our motivation and desire to be whole, not to be anointed balancers. I see that in the body currently. I see some kind of ministries want to take the place of anointed balancers, apostolic balancers. It's not a good place to stand in. Because you will be, if you are not careful, you will be hurting the body. It's not a good place to stand in. You need to be careful. I'm not saying God cannot call people into certain places, but you do that by teaching. You do that more by teaching with love and compassion that people can change. Must give them an opportunity to change. You cannot be hacking the body. You are not an hacker. Hack the body. If I see that spirit, I disconnect from you. No matter how anointed you are, because I know that you are going to enter your own Waterloo. You go see Woto from Jesus. Yes. If there's anything that Jesus hates, it's that spirit. I know it very well. When you are approaching the body, you know, Joyner said it. Joyner has blessed me so much with his books. You approach the body from the place of love and mercy and patience. Allow people to grow. After you have taught your powerful revelation, let them grow. You must be an immature apostle if you cannot allow people to grow. Give them time to grow. Have faith that they will change. Can we say amen? We should not try to make people feel that we are better than them. Still that same thing. Love must be the motive. Love must be the motive behind correction. Love must ever just have it. Love should be the foundation and motive for correction. The reason why you are correcting is because you want people to be better. And it will show in your fruits. Because with love is patience. With love is faith. You can't say you have love and you don't have faith that someone will change. You can't say you have love, you not be patient with someone. Amen. Those things, they work together. You have to be patient. Give the person time. We have to give the church time. The church is not seeing. Now, if I'm fighting everybody that's not seeing the truth I'm seeing, there's a problem. Abba. They will not see it. Say, these people, they don't. You start fighting them in campus. Say, they don't understand us. We eternal life us. Hallelujah. And they have said that we are being persecuted, Pastor. No. This one you brought this persecution upon yourself. You are not patient with them now. You know where they are coming from? Some people are coming from. You know where they are coming from? They are coming from Mugu Delay Dimension. And you want them to quickly enter into everlasting life. Abba, apostle of everlasting things. People don't grow that way. Have you given them egg in first? Let them take milk. I tell the pastor, I said, teach milk when you're on campus. Teach milk. You have to be teaching milk. Because some of the guys coming, they need milk. I said, don't even enter everlasting anything. I don't want to hear it for now. When you're on campus, just teach milk and touch Christ. Teach milk and touch Christ. Don't go into all of those areas because most of the people here, see, they can't understand it. And if they're here, they're only hearing knowledge. It will not profit them at that level. Let them learn to pray in the Spirit. Let them learn to, be led by the Spirit. Let them learn to walk in love. Let them learn to stay under spiritual authority. All those things are good for the heart. You know, when you see some, kingdom groups, they are more terrible. They have harmful revelation. Somebody is talking about the portal of the highest order. The mysteries of the seven faces of the cherub. Hallelujah. One of my daughters, she's here. I won't mention her name. The first time I met her, she's a wonderful girl now. She told me she has seen it, four-faced cherub. That's what she told me. So I was patient with her. I taught her the word. I said, four-faced cherub don't manifest in people's rooms. As I said, okay, where? Show me in the Bible where they are four-faced cherub. She doesn't know. And I said, no. She went to a group that talked those things. So she made a lot of assumptions. I knew where she was. So I gradually taught her the word with patience. 2 years after, she came to thank me. She said, I don't know what was speaking to me then. She told me she said one of the angels, maybe Gabriel or Michael, visited her in the room. I said, no. Michael, okay, why are you here, sir? Michael, don't they do like that? Some will tell you that some people, I really remember people that say they enter Porter. Porter. I remember that thing. I think that thing has died down a little bit now. Porter. Porter. Oh, what Porter? Nature will change. What kind of potter is that? You must be an Harry Potter. You are a magician. You are entering potter. Nature is not changing. I read a book of a minister. He's a wonderful minister. I appreciate him. What made me disconnect from him was that I saw he was talking so much of encounters. You know, all this mystic stuff. Encounters. You know, the hollow cloud. The hollow things. You know, gold dust. You know, he will come to class. People will see him in the hollow. When he looked at, after I read the book, when I finished, you know, the Lord says, what did you see wrong with this book? That's what the Lord told me. I said, Lord, there's no cross. I see no cross. The Lord says, there is nothing inside. No process. In quote, manifestation without dealing. No cross, nothing. So, you know, when those portal teachings came, my heart was kept from them. Portal, this, that, immortal, you know, garden of immortals. Guys that have not learned to walk in love. Hallelujah. Do we have teachings of life and immortality? Yes, they're in scripture, but it is delivered systematically. There's an order. You can't talk immortality without salvation of the soul. There's an order in the spirit. Can we say amen? I can't hear your amen. No. So love must be the motive, okay? For all things that we do. Love must be the motive to attain balance and growth. Love is what you desire that we are holistic. That we are whole. And truth, you know, love always promotes truth. That's how you know love. Love promotes truth all the time. Love does not relegate truth. Love always promotes truth. You see, you must learn to any doctrine, for starters, that is outside the scope of epistles, what I call apostolic syllabus. Just knock it off. I call them extra scriptural emphasis or extra Christ. Extra. They are not. Paul didn't teach it. Peter didn't teach it. John didn't teach it. You don't need it. You don't need it. If fathers of faith that laid foundation for doctrine in scripture did not emphasize it. That was the way I told you the way. So it's not genuine. You know, I heard a minister one time. Now I respect all these ministers. I'm not mentioning their names, so you don't know them. He was teaching people how to leave their body. I said, what? That's not Bible. So this is how you leave your body. It was actually teaching them how to live, to have an out of body experience. No, you need a soul change. That's when I know that I was taught. No New Testament apostle taught their encounters. None of them. They had them, but they didn't teach them because it's not necessary. No encounter is generic. My encounter is not doctrine. My encounter is not doctrine. I can't teach it as doctrine. If I have maybe experiences, out-of-body experiences, is in scripture. I believe in visions. I believe in supernatural encounters like that. But I can't teach it as doctrine to a church. That's wrong. What you should teach is truth. Truth is generic. What did I say truth is? Truth is for everybody. Encounter is as the Spirit wills. Okay. Are we all here? Now let's make progress. Are we ready? Now let's look at something else I call learning to judge the signs of wings of doctrine. Take me to Ephesians 4:14. Learning to judge the signs of wings of doctrine. Wings of doctrine. There's a wisdom in judging wings of doctrine. Sometimes the same teachings that bring refreshing and blessing, if not skillfully handled, can also bring odds and destructions. Leaders must be able to study signals that accompany winds. Some winds are stable, some winds are turbulent, some other ones are destructive. So you can see the Bible talked about every wind. So I noticed that a time in the body, one wind will just blow. Odichinchi wind. There's another wind that is blowing now. All kind of wind blows from time to time. And those winds, you know, this hypergrace message is a wind. It used to blow from time to time. You know, it will blow and it will come in another way. In fact, the hypergrace message blew in the time of the apostles. Grace, that's what they call grace for lasciviousness. You know, it blew. So when you check church history, there are some winds that blow occasionally. It blew 40 years ago, it will blow again 40 years after. You need wisdom to understand those trends. So we need to understand winds. And it's very good. You know, one thing that must be taught to believers in the church is to warn them. Paul said that in Colossians chapter 1. He says, warning every man. We need to warn you. You know, when you are traveling, or when you are traveling on the plane, the pilots, and they'll be talking. They'll say, you wear your seatbelt. If you like, don't wear it. Because you may go through a turbulent traveling. And if you are not well strapped, you can die. Same thing with traveling. Do you know how many people that seatbelt has helped? Nigeria, we are higher than seatbelts. Some of you, the way you fly your car without helmets, I really respect you. I never say, anytime I see you in the car, when I'm in the car and I see you flying your car, I'm always praying the spirit. Oluwa Ijuwa, Shodi Shosh. When they design helmet, if you want to be flying Okada, go and buy your helmet and keep it. That's how it's done. You want to be flying Okada. I'm not saying don't fly in Okada. Look for the kind of clothes that can protect you and buy an helmet and keep it. So anytime you fly Okada, wear your helmet. So you think that the Lord has given his angel charge over me. The Oibo that did Okada say you should use all helmets when you are traveling. You use faith. So when they put seat belt in the car, they put it for your protection. They are not saying the car cannot travel. They are only saying that part of the apparatus of the car is a seat belt. You strap it on. So there are also safety. There are safety things when we are journeying in faith. Can we say amen? So let's look at some of them. Number one, you must judge carefully doctrines that are termed new. Or even rev. Yes, we must be. Anytime I hear you say something new, something rev, I will look at you very well. I will check. Something termed new or rev that is not rooted in New Testament emphasis. For starters, I believe in the ministry of revelation. By the grace and mercy of God, I stand in the office of a prophet. I teach and preach revelation knowledge. I believe in revelation knowledge. Okay? I know some people, there's an extreme of those that don't believe in revelation knowledge. I believe in revelation knowledge. We see it in Ephesians 2. 20. The ministry of prophets and apostles is a ministry of revelation. When we say revelation, what do we really mean? Revelation is understanding. That's what revelation is. What did I say revelation is? Is to unearth truth and to make you understand them. Is to bring understanding to truths of scripture. Particularly truths that are hidden. Because there are things that are hidden. That's why they call them mystery of Christ. So Christ is a mystery. So if Christ is a mystery, you need revelation to teach him. You need to unearth him and make it plain. The Father is a mystery. God is a mystery. And so revelation, that's why revelation ministries, ministry of apostles and prophets, they are foundational. We see that in Ephesians 2 verse 20. So I believe in ministry of revelation. But I don't believe in some kind of ministry of revelation. We only reveal truth. We don't reveal any other thing. What do we reveal? Give me Ephesians chapter 3. Because I say, I've heard some revelation. We reveal truth. We reveal Jesus. I also mentioned that one time people were talking about cosmic signs in the heaven. Talking about, Pleiades, Orion. You understand? Revelation on here. Alignment of stars. What's my business with that? Everything I said, amen. Safety. You ever say Bible? We stay on Bible. Truth in scripture. Peter did not teach alignment of stars. What's my business with star alignment? This year, Orion is going to align with Pleiades. So this is the year of his appearing. No. You don't need that. We don't need all those things. That is not our order. Now, at times, signs in the heavens may bear witness to truth, but we don't wait for signs to know truth. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Stay on the Bible, sir. What are you looking for up and down? Looking for red blood moon? Looking for eclipse of the sun? Looking for which star? The natal stars appeared. Yes, I'm telling you things. Because these things will still come again. Particularly young people. This is up and down. There was a time people were teaching alignment up and down. Not alignment of truth, though. Alignment of stars. Are you a stargazer? Star Wars. Oh my God. So I believe in the ministry of revelation. You can see, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me unto you, how he had by what? The word revelation from the Greek were called apokalypsis. It means to unveil what was hidden. Am I right? How by revelation, so I believe in revelation, but revelation is to unveil the truth and the person of our Lord Jesus. It's not revelation of a thing, it's a revelation of a person. Even listen to it, dream is not revelation. I've told you. When I say I have revelation, so what is it? I had a dream. No. Dream is not revelation. I had a revelation. Because these are the things that we have been taught at a level. I had a revelation. I saw myself. No. You had a dream. It's not revelation. A dream does not necessarily communicate understanding. Truth is higher than your dream. Doctrine is higher than your dream. You can have a dream and I'll use doctrine to correct it. Hallelujah. That's why some people have seen their mother pursue them with cutlass in the dream. Because of that, my mother is a witch. You go and share to one prophet on the mountain. A demon can wear the face of your mother. You don't know these guys. They wear the face of your mother and your father. They'll not be pursuing you. You are sleeping. Somebody's putting food in your mouth. All of a sudden, they start choking you. Hey! You now wake up. You now see the face of your mother in the dream. Say, my mother wants to kill me. The mother that gave birth to you wants to kill you. Some people now believe that their mother is a witch. Because you are from a polygamous home, your stepmom must be a witch. They are the one doing you. Those are traditional, cultural. Oh my God. Hallelujah. If somebody is a witch, I'm a higher witch. My spirit is higher than a witch. How can you be born again? You are afraid of a witch. And you are a born again child of God. Tongue talking. And you are afraid of witch. You will do frog jump. Let them go and do all their witch. I don't even need to pray. I need to believe the word. understanding of what Jesus has done is okay. If you cast spell, it don't catch me. Ekpe oro mi o. Ekpe oro mi o. Ojise oluwa. Ekpe oro mi. Ekpe ole ro mi. No divination against Israel. You can curse me. You curse me, Tyre. I will bounce inside the inside the thing. Simple faith. When I started having faith, some I used to have those things before. Something will be choking me for When I started having faith, they stopped. Word stopped it. Just I listened to Edepo, my life was changed. I read Force of Freedom, I was free. One book, I read it, Force of Freedom. Every page was anointed. Faith, and every page. When I closed it in, I touched the spirit of faith. I touched spirit of faith. I knew that certain things were going to stop. So I did not just have faith, I became a deliverer. If you tell me that time that one spirit is disturbing, I just say, come here. I had one friend then, he would say, things used to move around him. He would say, they are tormenting him. I said, come here. There was one time, he ran to my room. I don't know what was pursuing me. He ran to my room. He said to me, they have come again. He was like, he wanted to run mad. I said, where are they? I just drew the bloodline. In the name of Jesus. I said, sleep on the bed. He slept like a baby. All those things, you know. I said, sleep. I said, no. And he said, the devil pursuing you. If you reach my room, you'll turn back. I was a student. He says, faith. Ever say faith. In the world, you must believe the word. Many of you believe your culture more than the word. You believe that a witch can harm you more than the word. So you can be in a church of doctrine. You don't believe the word. There are some things that we should not even be talking about. You believe that something will kill you. Why? Why are you always believing like that? Pastor, I don't know. Maybe I can die as I'm traveling. So, I believe in ministry of revelation, but it's a revelation of a person. Okay? The person of Jesus. Okay? So, God by His Spirit will illuminate truths that have been established before. But have been covered. So, now, listen. Everything we are teaching today is in Scripture. All of us, all the ministers that you know in these waters, everything we are teaching is in Scripture. We have no right to teach what is not in Scripture. We can never be creative with doctrine. I bring something that is not written. There's a problem with that. That's why we teach from the Bible. Can we say amen? Truth is ancient and unchanging. That's why Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Patterns may change. Patterns in propagating the gospel may change, but truth does not change. That's fundamental. And when we are teaching truth, we must be careful. Truths that don't point to Christ is not truth. If they don't point to Christ, if they don't point to the person of Christ, is not truth. Even when we teach on angels, it is in reference to Christ. When we even talk on the angelic, it is in reference to salvation. Everything is in reference to a person. He is a person. You can see the way Hebrews 1 taught it. They talked about the angels in comparative to the Son. That is it. If you start dabbling into the world of angels, without reference to the Son, you can dabble into error. That's why Paul warned some people against worship of angels. He did it because there's a tendency. There are occultic there are churches that began with that veered off because they didn't have strong word foundation. They went into worship of angels. White garment churches started well originally. I'm not saying everything about them is heretic or wrong. I respect the training, some of the things that I received. I've studied some of their fathers. They had genuine encounters with God. In fact, you know, interestingly, Ori Molade was a man of the word. I heard that he could quote from Genesis. I think he quoted from Genesis to Deuteronomy. He quoted, but just quoting. As a man of the word. But over time, the movement at a particular time, where all kind of things entered, was when they did not stay on the word. And there was no sufficient line to interpret prophetic experiences from the word. So, and once we are like that, evil spirits will enter. That's why even tokens can become perverted. It is possible that God raised a minister and God told him that he should anoint water. And if he gives people water, they'll be healed. Genuine thing. But over time, that same token can be corrupted. The same rod of Moses that brought deliverance, the same rod that Moses stretched, that parted the Red Sea, was a genuine. Who told Moses to stretch the rod? God. In the time of Josiah or Hezekiah, it became a relic. It became an idol. The name changed from rod of Moses to something called Nehushtang, that they had to destroy it. So there are things today that God originally inspired in past moves, but it is what? It should be destroyed now. Like my wife was teaching. They become a brazen serpent. Thank you. It says, he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groups. Is this Josiah? That's one of the things that Josiah, the mommy was teaching about the spirit of Josiah last week. And break the places, the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Okay, it's the brazen serpent. Sorry, it's not the rod of Moses. It's the brazen serpent that Moses has made. For unto those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to eat. And he called it what? Nehushtan. Hell! Evil spirits, the balonier. That's why we have faith in the word, not on tokens. As good as mantle and anointing oil is, it's not stronger than having faith in the word. Have faith in the word. You don't need to drink oil. Or anoint water. Or anoint your exam sheets. I had a friend like that in school. We used to say it was occultic. If he wants to do exam, you anoint his sheet. The examiner will be angry. That's when he will fail you. So much faith on tokens. We must take your faith. It's an African thing. You know, when Hagin taught us faith, he taught us faith as faith. But you know, there's a way the African mind does us. In Africa, when you go to Baba's place, Baba will not just talk, he will give you something. So we still have that mind. Don't just give me word. Efigosi. When I pray on this handkerchief. He's anointed. Take it. Thank you, man of God. Put it under your pillow. You see some people, they will tie a handkerchief inside their car. They can't believe in word for divine protection. Is that handkerchief that has been prayed? The man of God has anointed this handkerchief. Now, I'm not saying men of God cannot pray. I believe in Paul did it. It's in the Bible. Yes, anointing can rest on handkerchief. Very true. Those things are true. There was a time John G. Lake anointed a rock. The healing power was so much on him, and people were plenty, and he was tired. So what he did is that he just anointed the rock, bam, and people were touching rock, they were healed. Power of God was throwing them helter skelter. So God can anoint, but you don't build doctrine. How to anoint a rock for healing? Demon will enter the rock. Are we here? Okay. Praise the Lord. That's the one. So we judge doctrines carefully that are new. Okay. Any doctrine that does not have roots in the New Testament is not a message worthy to be preached. You know, a lot of people defend anything they are teaching from Bible. But we must be able to judge it. Is it part of the apostolic systems? There is doctrine is systematic. We can trace doctrine. Is it milk? If it's milk, you know, milk, you also have variation of truths, but we can know, is it milk? Somebody said he got born again in his mother's womb as a minister. And you want me to accept that? I cannot. And that woman said, no, everybody has an opinion on how we got converted. No, there is no personal opinion. There is no conversion inside the womb. You don't get born again in your mother's womb. Truth is universal. What did I say truth is? Hallelujah. So number two, let me do this finally and we'll continue next week. Did we learn anything today? So we must judge truths that don't follow scriptural accuracy and context. Judging truths that don't follow scriptural accuracy and context. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 1 to 4. Write those scriptures down. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1 to 4. Let's see 2 Peter 1 verse 20. Judging truths that don't follow scriptural accuracy and context. Context. Biblical context. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture, of the scripture, is of what? Any private interpretation. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So first, the scripture can have what I call literal meaning. Okay, literal meaning of scripture. But at times, we have layers of light hidden in the scripture. So scripture can also have prophetic meaning or prophetic interpretation. But this is it. Even prophetic interpretation must not now eclipse the literal meaning. You now twist what was originally said. We don't do that. You don't distort what was originally said. We are not supposed to distort truth. We are supposed to expound truth. There are two different things. What did I say we should do? Just expound it. We open things to be clearer. Not distort it. It's good to say this because we are also prone to these mistakes. Okay? We don't distort truth. We expound it. So scripture can have prophetic meaning. And yes, God can give you a timely prophetic word, a timely prophetic message from a scripture. Because the Bible is still speaking. Okay? There was a time that Jeremiah 1:9 was a scripture God used to imprint the prophetic calling in my spirit. I've shared it for some of the workers that joined church. Jeremiah 1:10. This, I had an encounter with this scripture. The calling of this house is more of a Jeremiah calling. It's a calling to I remember when I had this experience, very strong. It was as if they imprinted the scripture in my spirit. But originally, it was given to Jeremiah. Prophetically, it can be what given to what? To you. So God uses scripture to bring timely prophetic messages. But when we do that, we don't twist the original context. We receive prophetic lights and leave scripture the way they are what, documented in context. We don't twist scripture. We have no authority to do that. We must never forget that. Okay? God is still using the Bible and the stories of the Bible and different characters in the Bible to speak to us today. So what David did is still relevant because Holy Ghost will breathe on it and bring what? Truth to us. However, we are careful not to discuss or misinterpret the original context of Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3, 15 to 16. We don't rest Scripture. An account of the long suffering of our Lord is something, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom that is given unto him, and also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are to be understood, which they that are what? Unlearned and what? Unstable rest. And so they do what? Other scriptures to their own destruction. So we don't distort the context of which scriptures are originally laid by the apostles. We only expound it. We amplify it. We explain it. We don't distort it. Secondly, there are also truths that we have received before in former dispensations that we received unlimited understanding. That in this season that God is bringing more understanding, God will now begin to upgrade them. For instance, we once thought that heaven is the goal of the Christian faith. And heaven is wonderful. Amen. I don't want to miss heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. But with more light, you understand that the goal of the Christian faith is beyond making heaven. And I use the word beyond. The goal of the Christian faith is conformity to the image of the Son. Fullness and perfection, becoming like Christ, is the goal of Christianity. You can make heaven and not become like Christ. What guarantees you to make heaven is the new birth. The thief that got born again, last. Everybody say last. Oh, make heaven last. Oh, July, oh, you go make heaven last. Oh, they lost heaven with them. Come on, my coin Bible 11. Because you didn't know the Lord. So it's beyond that. So as good as that thing is, it was limited in its understanding. And so many other things that God is now bringing fuller light to now bring clarification. For instance, our understanding of rapture is being upgraded. Our understanding of hellfire lake is being upgraded. Now, so I know some people have thought that hell and lake, they are not literal. They are just spiritual. It's a lie. I'm telling you, read scripture well. That's why we should be. Lake is real. It's a real place. They put people inside. It's not a spiritual reality. Some people have thought that God will only put people in lake for a while. Later, he'll remove them. Go see the Bible, sir. Toba one lake. That's why we must want people to be afraid of sin. If you think that they are talking to you about sin, you are not listening. I am afraid of you. God will put you inside lake and nobody can take God to court. Do you think God is not a God of love? Do you think that it's easy for God to put a being that he has created into lake? It means that product has expired. It is not what God created. And for a man to get to the point where you end up in lake, they will have done everything to protect you and prevent you from that. So nobody should be comfortable in sinning. I don't care. You better care. You need to be careful. Sin hardens the heart. I think one of the things I want to teach this is the book of Proverbs. God said, teach your people wisdom and instruction, so that they are well protected and guided. You must never be a kind of person that they're always warning and correcting and you not listen. You are poaching yourself against God. That's why God puts system of correction as part of your growth process. When they're correcting in church, you get angry. You burn your pastor for 1 week. You are gradually becoming lake products. Yes! You are becoming a bad product. That's bad product. When they correct you, you should be happy. Because those are the things that protect you from being destroyed. So let me get angry. They rebuke you in this church, you go to the next church. They don't have love. It's when they rebuke that they don't have love. They don't have love. Love does not all do those kind of things. If God corrects you, you don't know that God is a God of love. God chastises when he loves. Can we say amen to that? So we must not. You know, one of the things, and let me round up with this note. We have many ministries and movements that twist authority of scripture to establish a false doctrine based on greed and perversion. That's the problem with the once saved, forever saved, extravagant grace message. It is just too twisted. It is too twisted, except you have a perverse soul And then when you are talking on that, you say, no, I am not sin conscious. But you want to be sinning. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace teaches you how not to sin. And the heart must be tempered to repent. Repentance is a good nature of the heart. You cannot talk down on that in the bid of destroying legalism. That's moving from one extreme to a more is a terrible extreme. Because you want to cure legalism. Because I understand that there were people that were so legalistic that everything was in quotes, was sin. You understand? So in trying to deliver them, you now push people to another extreme. No, that's wrong. Present truth in a holistic manner. Repentance is still valid. What did I say? Godly sorrow is still valid. You cannot tell people and take people from one extreme to another. You cannot make people absorb the responsibility of people responding to God. If God gives you salvation, you can throw it away. You can. Man still has a choice. If not, sin will not be an issue in the first place. Adam wouldn't have chosen something else. We still have our choice. Oh, you didn't get that. You still have your choice. So we will have to choose God. And if God gives us anything, we have to choose to keep it. It's still our choice. There's a lot of theological debate with that. You maybe have heard about, what they call these people. Armenians and these other people. Calvinists. Calvinists and Armenians. They still have 5-point agenda where they have conflict. I will talk about it one day. You understand? There's a view on grace that if God saves you, then it's an everlasting thing. Nothing can happen to you. So there's a guy called, actually, Jacob Armenian was a student of John Calvin. He was, but he went back into scripture and found out that some things were not right. So he proposed his own 5 points, whatever, that John Calvin did. Up to today, we still have streams of the body of Christ divided along those lines. So that hyper-grace message, it has source in some things that were not well treated in former dispensations. Yeah, sometimes I'll spend that to teach it and trace those things back. You know where it began from. Can we say amen? Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. Like I said, on this, we don't distort context of scripture. Scripture must be rendered accurately the way it was laid by the original apostles. That's why when you want to teach scripture, you need the same spirit that wrote it. In teaching them, the only way you can teach it is to trust God that the same spirit that wrote it is what must teach it. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. No. 2 Corinthians is not true. 2 Corinthians 11, 1 to 4. 2 Corinthians 11, 1 to 4. I would to God that you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused to you what? One husband, that I may present you as a what? Chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent what? Beguiled Eve through what? Subtlety. What serpent preached to Eve was a message. It was a doctrine. It was a twisted message. As God said. It's a message. As God said. He twisted the message and presented, because Eve was not perfect, so she still had things that could pull her. So your mind should be what? Corrupted from the what? Simplicity that is what? In Christ. Next verse. For if he that cometh preacheth what? Another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive what? Another spirit, which ye have not received, or another what? Gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might what? Bear with him. Take me straight, jump. Take me to verse 11. Or verse, is it verse 10? Where it says, Satan, you know, masquerade himself like an angel of light. Therefore, start from verse 13. For such are apostles, are false apostles. Go to verse 11 or 12. Go to 12. Go to verse 12. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as what? As we. Next verse, please. For such are what? False apostles. Deceitful what? Workers. Transforming themselves into what? Apostles of Christ. This is terrible. We have to talk about this. The Lord is always bringing me here. There are many people that are transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. They are false. And no marvel, for Satan himself is what? Transformed into what? An angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed. This word transformed is not metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is transformation from inside. Metaschematizo is transformation from outside. So, his ministers be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be what? According to their works. Can we say amen? May the Lord help us. May the Lord establish us. May the Lord make us a thorough people, people that are sound, people that are given to consistency and accuracy of scripture and truth, people that are given to learning God's ways, people that are growing holistically in God, in Jesus' name. Can we begin to talk to God this morning?
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been greatly blessed. For further information, you could visit our website at www.thecitygatechurch.org. God bless you.